Our next guest, Dr. John Lott, here to discuss guns. I don't know where that came from. Anyhow, doctor, welcome to the program.
Great to talk to you again.
I see the Supreme Court refused to weigh in again yesterday on one of the most controversial topics, of course, that being the Second Amendment. The justices declining to reconsider the rights of local governments to constrain that right. Tell us what's going on with this San Francisco law.
Well, you can't really read a lot into the decision. The Supreme Court made a decision not to grant what they call cert, that is to actually hear the case. And there's lots of reasoning that goes into whether or not the Supreme Court will grant cert, and that is whether there's divisions among the circuits on the, you know, we got all these different circuit courts around the country, and, you know, who knows, you know, whether they just don't think it's a ripe issue. You know, the irony to some extent is that in the original Heller decision, the Supreme Court dealt with gun lock rules, striking down D.C.'s mandate that people had to lock up their guns. And the reasoning was that they were concerned that a lock would make it so that people weren't able to quickly access their gun for self-defense. So I'm not really sure what was going on there, but it's a big difference between whether the Supreme Court will grant a hearing for a case and whether it will make a decision on it or not. Now, given that there's speculation that, you know, that Kennedy might not be a dependable vote on this, and that's one reason why 5-4 decisions to begin with should always give you a little bit of pause. I mean, it would have been nice if it was 6-3 or whatever, so it wouldn't be the possible threat of one justice leaving the coalition there that could drive things. But
certainly makes you wonder here.
It's hard to know what's going on.
It always makes you wonder watching, and you make a great point, Doctor, the 5-4 decisions by the court, and you hope that none of the, at least I do, I hope that none of the conservative justices fall ill, you know, between now and November of 2016. And you
right.
know that some of them are holding on because, you know, that's true for all these judges. You know, they're old. And many of them are old, and they're holding on to see who, you know, takes up the office next, and because it'll make a difference on what they decide to do.
Right. Well, Kennedy and Scalia are both going to be very shortly into their 80s. And when you have two of those five that are in their 80s, I mean, anything can happen.
Well, exactly. Then, you know, so that's why elections matter. If the next election goes the other way, you know, Katie bar the door, I guess. And that Heller decision goes all the way back to 2008. Now, I want to ask you about something here, because I want to go down a little bit of a different rabbit hole and ask you your thoughts on something, because I hear a lot more about this term open carry, which happens, it's legal in Michigan, but here in Michigan, we keep running into these challenges because to me, it almost strikes me as arrogance on the part of gun owners, you know, to basically rub people's noses in. And I can show you this, and you know, and I wonder if it's, it may be legal, but I wonder if it's good form.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big supporter of open carry. To me, the bottom line for people being able to carry guns is an issue of what impact does it have on safety. And when you have open carry, you lose a lot of the strategic advantages that you have from concealed carry. With open carry, it's analogous to a police officer in uniform. If a terrorist or a criminal is going to attack somebody that is openly carrying, they can go and either kill the person who's open carrying first, or they can wait for them to leave the scene, or they can go and move on to some other target. The big advantage that you have with concealed carry is that the killer or the terrorist doesn't know who they're supposed to go and take out first, and I think is a much bigger deterrent.
Yeah, and I'm referring here in Grand Rapids, this case that got my attention on this one. U.S. District Judge Janet Neff, in a 27-page ruling, dismissed a lawsuit filed on behalf of a Michigan resident that was stopped for 13 minutes and held at gunpoint because somebody called the police and said there's a man with a gun. So the police responded to Johan Deffert, and he was legal to have the gun. He was detained for 13 minutes and then files a lawsuit. You know, and my point being, whether it's here or the schools in Ann Arbor that have garnered attention both statewide and around the country for people demanding the right to open carry at schools and so forth. I think that for people that are pro-Second Amendment, this pushes a lot of fence sitters, people that don't really have a concern one way or the other, to becoming opponents because they see it as, well, obnoxious and in-your-face behavior.
All right. No, I think you make a good point. I just, to me, again, the bottom line is one of safety. And I suppose some people do open carry because they feel it goes and educates people. But as you say, there's a lot of cross signals that are going on there. And it's not really obvious to me why you want to go and put people through that. You know, in Texas, they just passed this open carry law. It's one of six states that still prevented people from being able to open carry. But one can go and look over the last year. I mean, it obviously created a lot of instances where Bloomberg was able to make political hay because you'd have people who were able to open carry long guns. They take menacing-looking long guns into restaurants, what have you. To me, that was a mistake. I mean, it's one thing to go and open carry a handgun, which is going to be in a holster or something, but if you're carrying around a long gun, it's a lot more awkward. There's a good chance that you may accidentally point the gun at somebody else in the restaurant, which anybody that knows basic kind of handling rules for guns knows that that's a big mistake. You should always treat the gun as loaded and can be a threat there. You should never point it at something that you don't mean to fire at. And just handling it like that, picking it up, putting it down, there's a chance that something can go wrong. And so I just don't, never really saw the point.
Dr. John Lott with us this morning. And Doctor, if you could hold one second, because I have a question about the renewed push on the federal level, focusing on gun blogs, videos, web forums, all threatened potentially, some say, by these new Obama administration regulations when it comes to guns. The NRA, of course, pleading their case. CrimeResearch.org from the president of the Crime Research Center, John Lott, will be back in just a moment here on the Steve Gerber Show. We're on with Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, you know, I've been reading the, and I'm going to take from an article here, Doctor, about something I've been reading lately. Commonly used and unregulated internet discussions and videos about guns and ammunition could be closed down under rules proposed by the State Department, amounting to a gag order on firearm-related speech. That from a National Rifle Association warning. In updating regulations governing international arms sales, the State Department is demanding that anyone who puts technical details and information about firearms or ammunition on the internet, that they first get the okay from the federal government or face a fine of up to $1 million and 20 years in jail. You know, that's talking about going down the rabbit hole. This is a, this is frightening to me, Doctor.
Right. Well, I mean, surely one can find any type of internet chat room right now where people talk about details about the guns that they have, you know, how fast are the bullets fired out of the gun, you know, what type of ammunition do they have that will have different characteristics. You know, I have to confess, one, I'm not a lawyer. Two, I've only glanced at these rules. They're 23 pages of legalese gobbledygook. So one really needs to kind of be an expert to figure out what's going on with the rules in the Federal Register. But it's surely very concerning, and it's just could end up being another way that the Obama administration just tries to make it difficult for people to own guns. Because obviously, if you're going to have any type of discussion in these chat rooms or other things with, you know, a friend, to go and require that you have to go and get prior approval from the federal government is going to mean that these discussions simply won't occur.
Yeah, the issue here is the State Department is updating the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, the ITAR, if you will, which implement the Federal Arms Export Control Act, another pile of letters. The rules govern everything from guns to strategic bombers. You know, and this is all part, you know, this all comes back to me for, you know, my question then becomes, you know, this whole, America's giving up the control of the internet. So we're giving up control to foreign governments who obviously don't want to talk about, you know, guns and so forth. And I wonder if some of these things somehow boil down to all being related. You know, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist.
They're two pretty different issues that we have here. The issues about putting information up on the Internet. I mean, obviously, if you don't want to put down the blueprints for some strategic bomber or making nuclear bombs or something like that, there could be obvious reasons why you don't want to share those things. But this notion of essentially giving up control of the Internet to countries like China and Russia just seems like complete madness to me. The notion that these countries somehow will still encourage freedom, will still encourage kind of open discussion and dialogue on the Internet, just seems insane. I don't understand how the Obama administration, I mean, I know it wants to get the United States out of involvement in all sorts of things that affect other countries, or to give up advantages that we have, but somehow it's unfair just because we developed and created the Internet. You know, who knows what they're thinking? It may be somehow unfair that we control it. But the Obama administration seems hard-bent on giving up control and not asking for anything in return for giving it up.
Except that they want control of our personal liberties. Because here's the thing, Doctor. I guess the reason I tie these two things together, and I think you're on the right path here, is that, okay, then we don't want to discuss firearms on the Internet or ammunition,
right?
Because they do want to control that. Because the 23 executive orders issued after Newtown, although, you know, not much happened then, they're still sitting there. And make no mistake, this president has until November of 2016, or just after, to issue these gun control rules, regulations, guidelines, whatever you'd like to call them, and he fully intends to pursue that to whatever extent he can.
Right. No, and look, and you were mentioning before about the courts, he's obviously having a huge impact, having appointed about half the federal judges in the country. Obviously he appoints people who are very strongly against gun ownership. And that's going to be a long-term impact he's going to have on gun owners. But, look, he's doing what he can to try to make it difficult. And you're right. A lot of these executive orders are never even going to be revisited by the next president. I mean, we've seen this type of thing before. Republican may go in there and may remove some of them, but I doubt that they're going to go through and put us back to the same position we were at before Obama became president.
So, but I mean, but if a Hillary Clinton becomes president, then what?
Oh, yeah. Well, if Hillary becomes president, we were just mentioning, for example, you have Scalia and Kennedy, who are going to be into their 80s. Those guys aren't going to make it another 4 years. They're surely not going to make another 8 years. And you're going to have a court that's going to be overwhelmingly liberal. I mean, right now you basically have four conservatives, four liberals, and a swing vote. And in that case, you would have either five or six solid liberal votes. And, it's just not gun ownership. It's going to be on a wide range of issues. You're going to see dramatic swings in the Supreme Court from what types of decisions you see from them now.
All right. So that's something for us to ponder for the next couple of days. And I think that you're right. That's why elections have such ramifications. Real quickly, where can they find more information about you, Doctor?
I'm going to go to our website at crimeresearch.org. A lot of issues have been coming up in the last week or two that I think people will find of interest.
All right.
But, I think one of the biggest laws that just got passed in the country was Texas's campus carry bill, getting rid of, at least to a large extent, gun-free zones on college campuses in Texas. But there are other things that are coming up.
Dr. John Lott, always informative, always a pleasure.